How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I don't know who you are.
You should.
That's it.
You should.
John Ryan. Welcome, John.
That's
great.
And Frances,
how are you?
Thanks for all the calls.
And then after all that training, we'd get it all wrong on Sunday morning and we were down with a bang.
We're going to school now.
The 11th of June, 1964.
I think I was looking forward. I thought I'd go to Dublin because I had two sisters in Dublin, and I was, but I hadn't a really big plan. I thought my parents would decide, maybe, you know.
Well, we were probably lucky that around when we left school, there were jobs. I mean, you always had civil service, you had the banks, you had Guinnesses, you had, you know, companies like that who were employing people. So you had all those options, because not that many people went to university. A lot of people, all right, did nursing or became teachers, and it was easier probably to get into those things then. So you really didn't have to worry about getting a job. You knew you were going to have something to do. You weren't going to be walking the streets. And most of us would have left Clonmel anyway after we finished school. A lot of people went to Dublin. A lot of people went nursing to England. I don't think we really knew what we wanted to be. I mean, girls really didn't have as many opportunities either. It was more limited. I mean, you didn't have girls becoming engineers. Not that many girls became doctors either. There certainly wasn't any in our class.
When I got a job, that was life. I was enjoying life from then on.
But do you think like that maybe being in boarding school had a lot to do with that? That we were so restricted here. I noticed now last night that a lot of the day girls seem to have progressed on to further education and doing night courses and that sort of thing. Rather, I think we were so restricted here. It was like a life sentence, and at last we were released, and we didn't want to think anything that reminded us of you know, this boarding school atmosphere again, you know, because, I mean, so many of them have gone on to do advanced studies and
we
they're still
also
doing it.
But used to being told what to do.
Yeah.
That
we couldn't think for ourselves,
that's right.
Much, really, you know.
But there wasn't that much pressure at that time, really, to get high points like today. There was no pressure at all.
But we didn't seem to have the ambition ourselves, like, did we? Like the day girls seemed to do.
But
this
when the pressure wasn't
like,
there,
yeah.
Like today.
Once you got a job,
that was it.
Exactly.
I think this was the main aim. You got
you
employed, you earned a wage,
yeah.
And, you know, you got married and you had children. And
the time was such that possibly only two could think of going to university for economic reasons. I mean, that's one of the facets that is interesting of that time, that nobody could have the perspective for financial reasons of going to university. Don't forget, at the time, you had to pay to go to university. There was no... I got a university scholarship, but if you didn't get a university scholarship, you had to pay, and living outside Dublin, you had to pay fees and you had to pay boarding. And that was outside the perspective of many people.
Oh, look. Come on, Teresa. Oh. Give us a turn.
Oh. At what? Irish dancing?
Anything.
Irish dancing.
Just for old time's sake.
Eileen, Irish dancing.
Well, you are good.
Now, I will be brief. Did you ever hear that before?
Yes.
Where? I will be brief.
Yeah.
Tis true, tis a pity, and pity tis true. But I will be brief. I just want to say how delighted and how pleased I am. It's difficult to express, really, how happy we are to have you here tonight and to recapture the atmosphere. I suppose we're going back 34 years, really, and we seem to be enjoying it again for a short time. And I don't know why, but Val Dorgan sings a song, "It's good to be back again in my hometown, in my own land." Now, that's true for some of you, literally. And it's true for all of you, in a sense, that you're back to your old alma mater. Whether we like it or not, our roots began there, didn't they?
Yes.
And I hope the roots were, shall I say, pleasant. And I like to take this opportunity, whether it's appropriate or not. You know, when a past pupil comes to me and says, "Oh, I remember you." I say, "Oh, God." "You remember the day you..." My heart stops. Well, what did I? So if at any time, you know, we did hurt or a bit short, we didn't mean it. It's all part of the day, all part of going through. So don't take it too seriously. So, pardon?
So,
oh no, they were very pleasant. You really, the more I look back, the more I appreciate that you were so good, but we didn't appreciate how good you were at the time. You're unappreciated angels. Now, that's all I've got to say, and I hope the rest of the night will be very happy for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now,
seeing as we're incapable of singing, Sister Joseph can sing the Kerry dance first.
Yes.
Come on, Sister.
All the days of Kerry dances, Joseph. Huh? Will you sing All the Days of the Kerry Dances?
Only my own lady.
Yeah, really, she was sitting on the banks of my own.
All for one of those hearts of gladness, gone alas like our youth too soon. The boys began to gather in the glen of a summer's night, and the merry pipers truly with wild delight. Oh, to think of it, oh, to dream of it, fills my heart with delight. All the days of the curry dancing, all the ring of the pipers tune, Oh, for one of those hours of gladness gone. Alas, I call you too soon.
She said.
I always believed, Mary, that boarding schools were necessary evils because there is no substitute for the home and that broader education. But when you had children had to come from long distance and cold, frosty mornings, and then they come to a boarding school, you see, you have to move in 60s or 70s or 80s, and that of its very nature is very confining and restricting. While the day girls went home, they mixed with their friends, and friends came in and they went out and they walked, and so it was much broader. Often said, if I were married, I certainly wouldn't send my children away to a boarding school, because the parting was too great. Some of them were terribly lonely. They cried for nights and nights and days and days. You know, my heart just go out to them, really. But then later on in life, you tell you that, you know, they got such a formation that it prepared them for life afterwards when they went away on digs, and then, you know, they were better able to cope. They did benefit from it, but perhaps it was too high a price.
We all saw you, all of you, as a group of teachers, as fantastic teachers, but almost unapproachable as friends.
Yes. I would think, Mary, that could be true. Yes. And I would think it had to do with religious formation to a great extent. Our particular order, we were really contemplatives, and that spilled over. Like, communication with them and befriending them wasn't encouraged. And that was a big mistake, I would say, and I regret that. And when you're moulded in that, then you get a natural reserve.
There was a lot of silence in the boarding school.
There was. You were almost nuns.
Sorry?
You were almost nuns, really.
Got up at 7. In silence, supposedly, yes. You came over to Mass in silence. Right. You waited for the Mass. And they might be delayed about 10, 20 minutes in the chapel, waiting for the celebrant. That was very hard. You came back then. You had breakfast.
Silence.
You went up to the dormitory and you did your own little chores up there. You tidied the cubicle. Silence. You went down to, if there was time left over, you went down to the study hall for study. Between that and the next, and when school opened, you came back and you lined up in silence. You sat down to dinner, and then after a few minutes, there was, you could speak. The bell. And then before the end, to get tidied up and get out of school in time, the bell would go over silence again. At 10, 4 o'clock, recreation. You turn to study. 5, 5:30.
You have tea at 4 in silence.
Tea at 4 in silence, right. Then you went down to recreation. 5, 4:15. Study until 7. Then open the corridor for your tea in silence. Then same routine. The things were served, you spoke. After tea, silence again, more study until 8:30.
Half 9 was it? No, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, then at recreation. And then 9:30, night prayers. Up to bed in silence.
That's exactly what it was like.
Exactly.
Exactly what it was like.
Silence is just
fucking
focus.
And to think you missed all this, girls.
The silence. What the dentist? Noise, but no.
Not human.
Yeah.
Sounds is different, isn't it?
She's actually got into her pajamas.
Wasn't it beautiful?
You went through it, didn't you?
It did it for real.
Dreadful. Just dreadful. So sad. So sad. Looking out the window, waiting for her mother to walk up the drive, and she'd get a bus to come and visit her and take her out for some food.
Did you ever fear you were going mad?
No, not till afterwards. I have had a lot of venom tucked up inside me over this. It's my motivation for everything. I fought to get out of it.
Yeah, there was a time when you sit in the team, or was I trying to expectation? At first, it was just to get out of the place.
I've been running away from here for 34 years.
Because I really felt when I was here, I was being hemmed in. I just kind of felt my freedom was taken away a bit, like, really. You just couldn't come and go, I suppose. You know, we'll take, for instance, the day girls now. They were able to come, go off for a cycle, go off for a walk. But we did everything by the clock, didn't we? You know, there was this roster that had to be adhered to at all times, wasn't there? You know, I found that, even at that age now, very restricting. Now, other people mightn't have found that at all. It was just me. And I certainly wouldn't have sent a child to boarding school. No way. So maybe subconsciously they weren't the happiest days of my life.
How did you regard the boarders? Did you know the boarders?
No,
were you
I
aware of the
no.
difference?
We didn't really know you very well at all. There wasn't much opportunity.
Apart from the class format.
There were no social occasions. I mean, we never even sort of had trips out to the concert hall or anything like that together. You know?
No, there was...
Nothing was ever organised in that
way. No opportunity for social interchange with the boarders, getting to know people better. I just remembered feeling that it was sad for boarders that they couldn't go home to their families in the evening, a sort of a loneliness that must
be
felt.
Yes, I was very conscious of that too.
The boarders were always whisked away to prayers or meals. I mean, our friendships, our friendship time was our lunch times, for example, going home together in the evening. And that wasn't available to boarders. You were always whisked away. Mm. Even sports was segregated, I seem to remember.
Yes.
The boarders did sports at different times to the day girls, so there was absolutely no opportunity.
These were the doors. I've never been up here before.
Oh, my goodness.
Look.
And this is the way they were.
Is there somebody sleeping there?
My goodness.
No, they've had the beds now. Well, just you, like, what?
And did you have your old bed?
Let's see.
Oh, my goodness. How did you feel when you walked in here yesterday?
Blitzed.
Well, they all have a washing basin, of
course. How do we wash on this?
Cold water, but wash hand basins.
Yes, cold water.
Well, that was quite okay, wasn't it? I mean, you had some kind of a... But no hot water. Oh, my goodness. It must have been freezing in the winter. Look, it says hot.
It came out hot on a Saturday.
No. A weekend treat.
I slept here. They put wallpaper on the brown.
Oh, look.
The same wardrobe.
Is that right?
Very same. But the wallpaper has made it so bright looking by comparison to my... Oh, yeah. All that colour.
Oh, dear. Goodness gracious.
I don't think we'd mirrors, had we? No mirrors.
No.
How
could you get... How are you going out in the morning?
You weren't supposed to look at yourself, I suppose.
You had no mirrors?
No, no.
Vanity wasn't encouraged, I guess.
No, no way.
How many years were you here now?
What? Five.
Yeah. 5 seconds ago. Good gracious. Well, it's fascinating to see. Is this yours?
Oh, has it changed?
27.
New wallpaper.
You put all your clothes in there.
Every stitch you had
to be emptied from the cases. And they all had to be put down in the trunk room. We couldn't keep a thing in our cases, you know.
So what did you have in that wardrobe?
Everything.
Just
every single thing we owned.
Two uniforms and five
underwear.
Blouses or something.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Jumpers was in those days with a...
Yes.
And a red collar attached on.
With gold pins.
Yes, yeah.
A red collar attached on
to a navy jumper.
It must have been very light. Because we never washed them.
No.
They must have stank this.
You just washed the collar. You took off the collar every week and sent it off to the laundry.
And what did you wear underneath?
Just jumpers.
Yeah.
It must have been very sort of itchy and scratchy and stuff. And, can you imagine?
Convent education, I think, was probably the best form of education. When you look now at some kids coming out of school, I think that probably their idea was to make ladies out of us, which is not a bad thing, really. I don't know whether we turned out as ladies, but I think they did a pretty good job on us.
When I think about our education at that time, it was an inherited system, and we did what we were told, and we weren't expected to have ideas.
And I think we went out into the world, and in ourselves we were questioning, but we were still tied into a system which gave us no confidence to express ourselves, and that we were shy to come forward. Now, I think then as we went on, we realised we had did the questioning, but maybe not overtly. And that we, I know for myself, I kept a lot of thoughts to myself, because sometimes when I presented them out, they got squashed by people, and that was hurtful. And therefore, I learned to keep my ideas to myself.
I often think about it now in terms of our endurance and stoicism, and I can see it. I mean, most of the people that I went to school with have great kind of grit, and they'll just put stuff to the back of their minds and not comment and not complain and not give out. It was a thing about dampening down expectations, in fact, because if you didn't have to, if you couldn't give a reason to why you couldn't have something, then you obviously should be able to have it. And if you could have it, why not? It was easier to be in control of the intellectual than it was really to be in control of the emotional. And I think that was the big issue around that era. The idea that you wouldn't talk openly about your emotions to your best friends, even. I didn't do that till I was quite older. About your fears and your uncertainties. The idea was that if you could intellectually beat something, then you could do it. The nuns' ethos came from serving. And I mean, they're still continuing to serve. And we did get some of that. It sort of seeped in there without you knowing it. You know, the overseeing person was God, and we were doing everything for him. And the state had been founded, I suppose, on martyrdom. The whole thing about sort of rebellion and fighting against the English, and we were very new, and we were really emerging from the peasantry as such. Like, so on the one hand, there was a sacrifice for the state, and on the other, it was for God. So it was, you know, I mean, I'm looking around me in the convent, and I'm looking at some of the religious pictures, and I'm looking at the crucifixions and all of this, and we didn't see anything wrong with all this blood and, you know, somebody with the nail stuck through and everything like this, because that was kind of part of the ethos. And yet I thought we were quite modern. So
amazing, really. So we have three farmers, is it? So your farming is well, Bernadette. Farmer, Joan's married to a farmer. Eileen, is that in Carew, no?
You're a farmer?
No, she's not anymore. So.
All right.
But Bernadette, you milked, she milked before she came in this evening.
Really?
Yeah. I said you milked before you came in this evening.
Where are you living now, Bernadette? I live in at home also.
Physics.
We all
bang.
I want to bang my.
Jesse Claire, come in here and run this class.
Look at this. Yes, sit down now. Look at your mouth.
She's with you, Galair. Can you tell us? Oh, Tommy, go mag or magud. See, she is an ish, I guess. Just know me. Oh,
we'll
carry go. Only. Only Tommy will
carry
go. Only carry go. Only carry go. He can't be. Oskin, the bin sheerish. August, do need go cure, Marshall Fontelle. do need for queuing. For queuing, Marsh Matale. Oh, Tashi Shin Roar, their fad.
Afraid of not knowing the lines. Just been terrified and praying and hoping you'd get the lines that you really knew. Supposing, you know,
the first
four lines, maybe, and then you knew you were away with it.
I'm hoping you'd be asked first while you still had it in your head after closing the book.
Yeah.
Or having Sister Claire, all she had to do was just walk in that door and put on this face. And anything you learned went flying out the door. And she'd wait until you were about halfway through, especially in geometry. And you were just down at the end, you were saying, God, this is brilliant. And then she'd come, August Cain Fall.
Yes.
And it was like being stopped in the middle of the confetti. I mean, you hadn't a clue, and now you'd have to get started again. And of course, if you really understood it, you'd have been able to say, because Davrishin has such a thing, there's such a thing, you say, but when you'd learned off as we had. You know, especially for the first year. And then it was Colleen Ella, and you were up against the wall, yet again.
Why were we being taught in Irish? I'll ask you in a minute. Why were we being taught in Irish? Why was everything in Irish?
We got extra marks for
doing our exams through Irish.
I remember maths being easier through
Irish
than English, you know, especially the geometry.
That's right. It was really a promotion of Irish at the time, wasn't it? You know, Gaelin, that were very important, you know, and the Fáinne, Fáinne, yeah. And actually, you learned your lessons better in Irish than you did in English, and it was much easier to learn the Caimhtrithe in Irish than it was in English.
That's right.
To go into certain jobs in those days, be it civil service or something, you had to have Irish. You know, that it was mandatory, and that was it. And I think we all sort of thought along those lines that we're learning it for a cause, for a reason.
We made a dress and we had these things that came down to you with elastic on the
I wish you made the slip then to lace around.
Has anybody got those all the time?
No, I wish we had.
They're back in fashion. We shared them.
But can you still do a hedge tail and top stitching?
I could do the top stitching.
I never do it.
And the buttonhole.
Yes.
The
buttonhole. I could do a buttonhole, but it wouldn't be great, but I could do it.
And the way, the neat way we used to do it. Yeah. And all those things of how to put in a button. Yes.
And the turning the heel or something.
Turning.
That's right.
Doing the toe.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What other things now?
Doing the darn.
Yes, we use darn. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
All I remember are these overgrown sized drawers. You know, the old fashioned knickers with the long legs. And my only achievement in the sewing industry was just ripping and re-sewing the crotch. I never got it beyond that, and it never came up to expectations. It was done and redone and redone. When it was all by the time, I was finished with after it was actually black. So I'm afraid I never developed a liking for sewing. You know, I wonder why. So this is my, and now I think I have a room all to myself.
No wonder you don't remember this sewing machine.
For a fiver. You can buy 3 in Dunn's for a fiver now. No effort.
Mary.
And do you remember we had a PE teacher and...
Okay. Was it?
And we would bend down or something, you'd see the top of the stockings. Mm. And she said that she called them smiles. But she said she could see great big laughs around with us. Do you remember that? No?
No.
I'm sure she called them smiles and laughs, the top of the stockings.
She was the lady, wasn't it, that had checked us out for wearing Rolands.
That's right.
Yes. That we shouldn't be wearing
we them.
That they were doing the what our own body should be doing.
That's right. I think she was the first person told us about BO and deodorant.
That's right.
Mum. She introduced us to Mum.
Our official introduction.
We never heard of BO. We smelt it, but we never heard of it.
Your best friend.
Your best friend was smelling as bad
as
you. Yes,
of course. Oh, yes. Come here, Miss Clare. I want to address something that's been bothering some of us for 40 years. How come the day girls got to mix with the boys and we didn't?
For the rule at the time. I wasn't really in charge of the border, so I couldn't speak for that. No? Yeah? No, not really. Not really. I wasn't really. I had nothing to do with that.
Our days were punctuated with going downtown for lunch and seeing who we saw or whoever was around the main street.
And what route you took.
Yes, yes.
The only thing we ever saw was them vaguely passing in the distance up and down the river and the boats. Or else out
and your eyes out on sticks, Teresa.
Exactly. You got 5.5 crown for looking out
the window. Or if we had the luxury on our walk out the Dungarvan Road on a Sunday.
Crocodile.
If we, of course, we were advised to cast our eyes downwards when they were passing. But if we did happen to raise an eyebrow, you know, that we did see them, but that was it. And yet all this luxury of actually being in contact with them.
Imagine.
We did a lot of exams before we finished our leaving, like civil service exams and things like that. And just after we got our results, I got called Civil Service Department of Post and Telegraphs in the GPO. And I spent 5 months, I think, there. Well, in the meantime, we all did IQ tests for Aer Lingus. So we all went to Cork anyway, and... there was another group in before us, and there were a few of the lads from the high school, and they came out and we said, what was it like? They said, oh, we've never seen anything like before. It was shapes and boxes. And we said, what? And we thought, oh, they're messing, you know, it can't be. So sure enough, we went in, and it was an IQ test, an aptitude test, which we'd never seen before. But we obviously came through it anyway, because 3 of us actually did start working in Aer Lingus. I joined in early 65, and then in September 71, I had to resign because I was getting married.
I had an older sister who worked with the OECD in Paris, so I thought this was wonderful that you could go and work abroad. So I went to work with the Department of Foreign Affairs, and then I did a competition for the United Nations. So I worked in Geneva for a few years, and then in New York, and now I work for the EC.
My name is Mari Cross, and I'm presently ambassador in Prague and to Ukraine. I was Mari Keating, and I was the first married woman allowed to stay in the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Well, when I left, I had decided that I was going to enter. I decided that before I left, because I just felt, look, this is what I am called to do. And it was really only sometime, I'd say maybe shortly before I left here, that I kind of decided like that, maybe it was good to come here. And I suppose when I would have kind of moved on when I was here a few years, I mean, I entered straight after leaving school and went to college, and then I came back teaching here. And I was teaching here for 4 years, and then I was principal here for 5 years after that.
I'll sing one song and that's it. Okay. I think that the nuns might know this, remember this one. Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
For the time in our lives when it was. Okay? Girls, I would like you to join in this one, for the time in our lives it was. Sweet 16. Okay. I hope I get the right ear. When first I saw the love light in your eyes, I thought the world held not much joy for me. And even though we've drifted far apart, I never dreamed but what I dreamed of thee. I've loved you as I've never loved before. Since first I met you on the village green, come to me, oh, my dreams of love are o'er. I've loved you as I've loved you since you were sweet.
Wait, I get the high note.
Since you were sweet 16. And we still are.
As I look around, I see women who have come successfully through life, developed. We're all around the same age, all heading into menopause, looking well on it. Appreciating life, good fun, enjoying each other's company, able to mingle, able to be honest, able to share, and to reminisce and laugh. And I think that's lovely.
Very few people are out of Ireland except by choice, which was quite interesting, because I would have thought before us and after us, people emigrated because they had to. No one's in America. I think one person's divorced. Nobody's dead. Maybe most people seem happy enough. Hard to know. So maybe something was done right.